some of the more interesting elements of how we would go about doing this relate not just to the technology and the economics, but to the structure of the market, the way it's regulated, and who has responsibility for ensuring reliable supply. For example, at the moment, if you're a consumer on a Kangaroo Island, you can choose who you buy your electricity from, which retailer. If the cable was no longer there, then you wouldn't be able to participate in the national electricity market. So the only supplier would be the supplier from the island. And then that raises questions of, well, if the only supplier is from the people who generate on the island, how do we ensure that they don't abuse their market power of being the dominant supplier of power on the island? How do you balance power between consumers and the providers? And this is an issue that has been addressed in similar situations overseas. And often what happens is that the community says, well, we don't have a market to put discipline on supply, but let's engage in community building. So let's perhaps invest in a community energy supply system where the people who supply the power are also the same people who consume it.
So essentially they could take over and then govern the power market in Kangaroo Island?
Yeah, they could become the Kangaroo Island energy market and run their own show. But given that you've got the network there, which would presumably still be run by South Australia Power Networks, and you'd have probably a range of different generation sources, it would make for a very interesting set of solutions in terms of the governance.
It's like a whole another level of power politics, really.
Yes, but it could also be an opportunity for a sort of community renaissance in terms of people working together to solve problems collectively on the island.
What direction do the community want to go in?
I don't want to speak for the island, but I've certainly spoken to some of the people who do represent the community of Kangaroo Island, and what I'm hearing is that they've got a few priorities. Probably number one is they want to have reliable electricity supply. So that's a given. They need to have a supply that is at least as reliable as the current supply and preferably even more reliable.
It seems quite scary to me that a whole island is powered by one cable. What would happen if that cable were to snap or just stop working? Would everybody just run out of power?
Well, it would be a big problem. And we can see the sort of problem that it becomes by looking at what has happened in Tasmania earlier this year when they started to run out of capacity from their hydroelectric scheme and the cable effectively failed between the mainland and Tasmania. So what would happen without the cable is they'd have to rely on their backup generation. They do have about 8 megawatts of standby diesel generation on the island, but it's very expensive to run. It would cost over $1 million a year to provide diesel. That's not a particularly clean source, and because the diesel generators are not really set up to run long hours, that could actually lead to blackouts, which could have a really devastating impact on the community and their local industry, and in particular tourism.
So the South Australian Power Network is reassessing how Kangaroo Island is going to be powered, because we're at that point where the cable needs to be changed because it was only meant to last about 30 years or so. But the next thing the Power Network has posed is another cable, which will be attached to a grid on mainland South Australia. But doesn't that seem like a step backwards, seeing as we've already realised the full potential of renewable energy on Kangaroo Island?
Well, this is the question we're looking at the moment. No single technology can meet all of Kangaroo Island supplies and do it cost effectively. So the mix would include wind energy, because Kangaroo Island has such a fabulous wind energy resource, as anyone who has been there will have noticed. Secondly, solar energy is quite affordable these days. Batteries, because wind and solar are a variable output supply. And then there's other ways in which we can back that up to create a more reliable system. For example, using bioenergy.
How does bioenergy, or how is that done?
Perhaps the most conventional or the simplest way of doing it is to harvest the timber and turn it into a easily usable fuel by chipping it and then feeding it into a boiler to create steam and put that steam through a turbine exactly the same way that a coal or a gas-fired steam turbine would operate. People would obviously, from the point of view of Kangaroo Island, be concerned to make sure that was sustainable, but provided it's based on plantations that have been established for the purpose and that are replanted, you can effectively have a zero carbon supply of electricity from bioenergy in that form.
With all these alternatives, would that then work alongside having an electrical cable still attached to the island? Because with all these renewable clean energy means being generated on the island, then that being fed back into the grid and taken back to the mainland, is that the most feasible option?
In principle, you could certainly provide all of the needs of the island without relying on the cable. It then becomes a question of what are the economics of doing that. As I said, the design life of the existing cable runs out to 2023, so no one's proposing to actually cut that cable. It's really what can we do to ensure that there's reliable supply in the event of a failure of that cable. But in the longer term, it's actually possible that you would want to have a cable there not just as a backup for the island, but as a way of exporting renewable energy from the island back onto the mainland. It would depend on how much wind energy the community wants to have established on the island.